fellow briefly on television the other day who's written a book called The Last Self-Help Book You'll Ever Need. And it's sort of the anti-self-help book. And although I didn't agree with a lot of the things that he said, I really enjoyed the fresh perspective. Probably my favorite expression that he had was, throttle your inner child. And what he said was, you know, there are people who definitely had awful, traumatic things happen to them in their childhood, and it really has profoundly affected their adulthood. But it's not true for most of us. Most of us had some struggles as kids and some successes as kids. And if we want to go through our adult life continually referring to the inner child that is making me unable to do the things that I need to do as an adult, throttle that inner child. I thought that was sort of fun, a fun way to look at things. Another thing that he said, and probably less funny, but more true, is you can't succeed at anything that you try. There are going to be some things that you stink at. And it doesn't matter how many encouraging words people give you about that thing, you're just going to be bad at it all of your life. It's not what you're gifted with. And this is really the theme that we come to in the book of Acts. First in the book of Acts, but then in the epistle which we heard, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is writing about the diversity of gifts. And some of you will remember, in fact, if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you didn't bring your own today, there should be one in a pew near you somewhere. And the first person with a pew Bible to find the page for 1 Corinthians 12, shout out the page number, would you? What? 887, page 887 in the pew Bible. The translation that we have in the pews and a lot of folks have is the New Living. And although the reading today began at verse 4, I want to start at verse 1 here. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. First of all, just as a side comment, some of you have heard me talk about this, the Greek actually says, and now, brothers and sisters, I will write to you about the spiritual. That's all it says. The spiritual. It doesn't say spiritual gifts. It says the spiritual. Pneumatikos is the word in Greek. It's ambiguous. And I believe intentionally so. Sometimes things are ambiguous in order to confuse, and sometimes things are ambiguous in order to mean more than one thing. And here I believe that what is being said about the spiritual means you, who are those filled with the Spirit and are the spiritual, and you, who are those filled with the gifts of the Spirit, or who are made with gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes we want to distinguish and say, well, which one is it? It's got to be one or the other. And that's not necessarily true. Because if you look at a hammer, you might say, well, now, what is it that we're talking about here? The ability of this thing to hammer or its self-identity as a hammer? Well, they're not really separable. They're the same thing. And in that way, the spiritual, meaning the people filled with the Spirit and their gifts, are inseparable. It really doesn't help, I think, to say, well, Catherine has the gift of discernment, and Phyllis has the gift of hospitality, as if these are like badges that we wear or tools that we carry around. Rather, that's part of how it is that we are made. It's a part of the identity by which the Holy Spirit has created us as parts of the whole body of Christ. So, ability to hammer, identity as hammer, same thing. They're really not separable. Now concerning the spiritual, it's about usins, and it's about Usin's gifts. And they're all sort of a piece. They're the same. They're together. You know that while you were still pagans, this is verse 2, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And now we get into this specific passage set aside for today. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Different word here. This is charisma or charismata in the Greek. It's not the same word as the special abilities back in verse 1, which is pneumatikos. Two different words in Greek. But it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. So he begins by saying there is a diversity. There are different kinds of gifts, but one Spirit who is the giver of these. One Spirit. There are different kinds of service. And the word service here means to care for somebody who is in need or to carry out orders on behalf of someone else in the body of Christ. So if I were to say, Phyllis, would you mind bringing up half a dozen chairs from the basement? Phyllis bringing up a half a dozen chairs from the basement is a service empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the idea here. Or if Phyllis goes and cares for someone in the hospital, that caring, that also is service. That's the meaning of this word, service. If as a believer I care for elderly people in a nursing facility or at home, or I care for children in the nursery or in the Sunday school, or I care for my next door neighbor who's just had a child and bring over some food for dinner, that's the word here. If someone in the congregation says, would you please go and do so-and-so, and I go and do that as an act of service, that's the word here. And what Scripture is saying is this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And people who do these things in obedience as a part of the body of Christ are doing the work of the Holy Spirit through service. Vicki and I were at a conference one time many years ago of people who are Pentecostal or charismatic in the Anglican Communion. And Benny Hinn was there. Some of you watch TV, you've seen Benny Hinn on TV. And opinion on Benny Hinn ranges from crook, charlatan, not even a Christian, just wants to steal your money, to closest thing to Jesus on earth today. And sort of everywhere in between. And at any given moment, I sort of have either of those two opinions. But we were at this conference, and there were many speakers, of whom Benny Hinn was one. And there must have been 10,000 people there. I mean, it was in a big auditorium. It was very, very full. And Vicki and I were back, oh gosh, a football field away from Benny Hinn. And he was preaching, and he was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he went, come Holy Spirit, like that. And a third of the audience fell to the floor, including Vicki. To both of our enormous surprise. And virtually everybody around us, sort of on our third of that place. And it was a wonderful, powerful experience for her. There wasn't anything fake about it. So whether Benny Hinn is fake or not, the power of God that was present then wasn't fake at all. And a lot happened. Now, I bring this up because many of us look at spiritual leaders in the church and we think to ourselves, why can't that be me? Why can't those be the gifts that I have? Why does the gift I have to be making a stew to bring to my next door neighbor who just had a baby? I'll let you in on a little secret. I have never met anyone in my life, not one, who didn't believe that they were inadequate. I have never met a single person in my life who didn't believe that the gifts they had were not as good as the gifts that other people had. I've never met a single person in my life who did not believe that they were insufficient, not up to whatever else it was that other people were up for and able to do. I've never met a single person in my life who didn't believe that someone else was better than they were, smarter than they were, wiser than they were. Make the list. I'll tell you that I even know the CEO of one of the largest corporations in the world who believes he is inadequate because the CEO of a slightly larger corporation has more money than he does. This is a billionaire I'm talking about. So that sense of inadequacy has almost nothing at all to do with the gifts we actually have. There is something in each and every one of us that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not able enough, I'm not gifted enough, and in fact, the gifts that I have aren't the best gifts. Other people have better gifts. I want the kind of gifts that Benny Hinn has, so I can invite the Holy Spirit and 3,000 people fall to the ground. I want the gift that Billy Graham has, so that 30,000 people come to the Lord simultaneously and step into the kingdom. I want the gift that Bill Gates has, so that I can invent an operating system and become a billionaire. I want the gift that. Some of you, I would bet money right now, are thinking, I know I'm inadequate. I know I don't measure up. I know I often feel insufficient for the task. I know I don't like the gifts that I have. But I'm sure there are other people in the congregation who feel better about themselves, who feel more gifted than I do, who feel adequate for the task, who feel equipped. And even though George is saying these things about everybody, I know that he's probably just talking about me, maybe a couple of other people to help us feel a little bit better about themselves. He's just trying to be encouraging, because really I'm the one that can't quite make it and struggles every day, but other people are fine. It's a lie from the pit of hell. There isn't a person in this room, like anybody in this room, who believes that they are completely adequate for the task, who is completely satisfied with the gifts they have, who feels completely fulfilled, able, happy, without any qualms whatsoever about who they are and what they are, to please stand up. So for those of you who felt that this was only you, look around. There are all of the people who don't feel that way. Okay? This chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, is one of enormous benefit for every one of us in our walk. If you haven't read it recently, I'd encourage you to just sit down every day for the next month and read chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It's an enormous corrective in the best sense for each of us. Verse 4, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, caring for, carrying out orders in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. I want to spend a minute on this sentence and unpack it, because there's something extraordinarily important being said here. And the New Living actually has it pretty well. The English version of the Greek is actually pretty fair. There are different ways God works. The word there refers to results. In other words, there are different ways that results of work come about. The product of effort, accomplishment, if you would. There are different ways that accomplishment happens. There are different ways that things are completed or successful. This is sort of an end of effort. At the end of effort is a conclusion, is something accomplished and completed. That's the word here. There are different ways God brings about results. There are different ways that God produces results. There are different ways that God makes changes. It's the result of that, the product, the goal. In our lives isn't in the Greek. You just draw a line through that prepositional phrase. It's not there. It's implied, but it's not there. There are different ways God brings about results. But it is the same God who does the work. Let's just stay there for a minute on does the work. Here's the result in our lives, if you wish. Here's the result in the world. Here's the result, the conclusion, the completion, the accomplishment, whatever it is, the goal, the product of the effort. Here it is. There are different ways God does that work. Now, this is the active part. This isn't the goal or the conclusion. This is the actual working, the expenditure of energy, if you would. In fact, the word in Greek is the root of our word energy. It's the energy expended to accomplish something. Energerma, that's the word in Greek, energy. Or energeo here, does the work. But it is the same God who does the work, makes the effort, expends the energy. It is God, not George, not Phyllis, not Catherine, not Tom, Paul, James, Peter, Bartholomew, Mary, Martha. Not them, but it is God who does the work. And then look at the end of the sentence. Through all of us. Through all of us. Not through 20% of us. Not through those who are feeling good about themselves today. Not through those who have the gifts that I want. But it is God who does the work, if you would, supplies the energy, does the work through us. All of us. All of us. All. It's there in the Greek. All. All of us. And the through is there in the Greek. God does the work through all of us. And then verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means for helping the entire church. Whatever that gift is, making stew to bring next door, inviting the Holy Spirit and 3,000 people fall, playing bass guitar, running knobs up there in the sound booth, moving chairs around, cutting onions, planting flowers, putting an arm around somebody, giving a hug. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. What it actually says here is not that a spiritual gift is given, it actually says the Spirit is given. The Spirit is given. In other words, it isn't just Benny Hinn to whom the Holy Spirit is given. And when Benny Hinn invites the Holy Spirit and 3,000 people fall, that isn't the only kind of evidence that the Holy Spirit is busy and at work. The stew to bring next door, bringing chairs up, from the basement, playing bass guitar. The Spirit is given. The hidden is made visible. The word is given, it's actually to be made manifest, to be brought from what was hidden into the light. So the Spirit is made visible. Think about what's being said here. The Holy Spirit is being made visible by each of us as a means of helping all of us. That's what this is about. The Holy Spirit given to each of us in all of these enormous variety of ways as a means of helping all of us. And if we have the idea that the best kind of gift to have is the one Benny Hinn has, or the one Catherine has, or Phyllis has, it's like saying everybody should be red. Where's the joy in that? God is an artist with an enormous palette of color. And it is that palette of color that he uses to make the whole body of Christ beautiful. And if any of us thinks we ought to be something different than what he made us, then what we're doing basically is saying this artist really didn't have a good idea about this picture. We all actually should be red. And then, this as a means of helping the entire church, and this is the last point that I will make, verse 7, as a means of helping the entire church. What it actually says in the Greek is as a means for us to be brought together and to bear a load together. So yeah, it is helping, but it's more than that. It's deeper than that. The fact that the gift of the Spirit is given to each of us in unique and special ways to help all of us is in order that we all be brought together so that we all together shoulder the load. Isn't Scripture wonderful? Isn't the stuff that's there just so important? And you don't need to know the Greek to get this. I mean, part of my role as pastor and teacher is to help unpack some of these things. But guess what? The Holy Spirit does a really good job of that without any help from George at all. And if you just live in this piece of Scripture and invite the Holy Spirit in your reading of it, spiritual eyes are opened for each of us. And the understanding of what it is that God intends by the way he makes us, the way he fills us with his Spirit, the way he gives each of us gifts for all of us, and the way he pours and works through us by his Spirit with each of those gifts, all of that, that's what the life in the body of Christ is about. It is how we are to live with and among each other, to serve and bless each other. And my prayer today, for every one of us that feels so inadequate, so ungifted in the ways we'd like to be gifted, is that we might just pray this simple prayer. Lord, for the gifts that you have given me, I invite you to help me be truly what it is you've gifted me to be, and to know the joy of letting you work through me in that way. And Lord, help me to do that without diminishing, without self-condemnation, without even the jealousy of others who have different gifts. Lord, help me to live out who you have made me to be. Lord, live through me that the gifts you have given me might bless all of those that you have placed in my life. I pray this in Jesus' name.